Father in heaven, we thank you again for this beautiful day you've given to us. We thank you again for being the house of God. Lord, it amazes me. I remember years ago when you went to church, you didn't have an air conditioning. You didn't have pews padded. They were hard pews, and you had a funeral fan, and people sang, and everybody get fanned and felt some of the breeze. We thank you for those days. But now we come in here and enjoy the atmosphere as far as the coolness is concerned. Thank you for people turning aside the things of the world today to be here. The Lord, as Brother Bunny has already taught this morning, this is your word. We're fixing to open it up again. Every word is spiritual bread for the child of God. It's powerful to our soul, helps us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I pray today that you'd give us some wisdom to understand some things about life maybe we didn't see when we came in these doors. When we go back in that world, we'd be a better person than we were when we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Now, a few months ago, you remember I preached a message on this, on whom do men say that I am? I did not know at that time, and I spent a lot of time on that message, and I preached it, and I thank God for it, but I did not know at that time when I preached that message to the few weeks after that, I was thinking about what Peter said, who Jesus was. And then months ago, God began to deal with me about some things in life. So we were talking about how a Christian is judged when they stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ in the book of in 1 Corinthians. And sometimes you think about they're judged according to other people. God will never judge us according to someone else. And God showed in my heart that we had two things in our life as a performance that everybody sees and sometimes see things we don't like. Then there's another situation of child of God, which is not just performance, but it's actual potential. And so I began to read the rest of this chapter, and I saw something I'd never seen before about Peter. Did you know, if all you saw what Peter was, you'd never been the person you'd ever thought he'd be who he was. Because you look at his performance, and sometimes his mouth got ahead of his brain. On the other hand, we see his potential, and only Jesus saw that. Watch that today. Let's read, the few verses we had then and get into the message this morning. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon spoke right up, by the way, what little information he had was true. And he believed this. He said unto him, Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ of the Son of the living God. That is, you are the Messiah. We believe that. Now, he's been with Christ about two years. About another year and a half before Christ goes to Calvary. And then we see, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for the flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You didn't say that because of where you come from, flesh and blood. You had a higher power revealing that to you. And maybe you didn't understand it because you didn't know about the Holy Spirit at this time. But there was a truth that got in his heart that Jesus Christ had to be more than just an ordinary man that come. He saw some things already. And he said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I was like, state I can't. So he said, our Peter, that is, our Petros is the word, is a small rock. Some people say that he's talking about building the church on Peter. No, he's not, because if you go back and don't have time to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 9, you'll find that Peter himself told us who the rock was. And therefore, he explains it himself. Then I go and I see what he says next. Watch, when we get into the message, he said, and I will give unto thee, talking to Peter now, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say the keys of the church here. He said the kingdoms of the kingdom of the heavens. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And why would he do that? He just, who did men say that I am? What better thing could Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But immediately after that, he said, don't you tell no one about this at this time. You see, Jesus had got to get closer to Calvary. Before people even began to understand, and then they didn't get it. He's telling them there's more things that got to happen in his life other than just come and live a life in turn to make they may see God in him. He's only about halfway through his ministry, a little better than halfway. He's got another year and a half to go. So if they go telling him about to the world who the Messiah is, then there's no way they could verify that, because when the Messiah comes, he's got to fulfill God's will, and God's will is the crown can't come before the cross. The cross has to come before the crown. And so here he said, don't tell anyone. Then watch this. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. You could not get these Jews to believe that the Messiah that should come, the Christ, the anointed one should come, was going to die like this. And yet the message is true. He is. He said, don't tell them about that I'm the Christ yet. There's something's got to take place before that comes, and I'm going to have to show more about why I'm here than a great miraculous thing you're seeing. You're going to see me go to Calvary and die. You're going to see me die, and then you're not going to understand it at the time, but you're going to have what is necessary, my word to you, that it happened, and you wait for the Holy Spirit, which they did later, and he'll explain those things to you. And then I want to get right on down, and then Peter, what's this? Peter, watch that, back in verse 16. Thou art the Christ of the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, I'm going to have to go and die. He lost it all of a sudden. Notice what he said. Peter said to him, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Who's the authority here? Well, that don't sound like what I saw back in verse 16. If he's the Messiah, he's the authority. He's the authority. Lord, this can't happen, but hey, we know you better than that. We've seen more than average man. So we've been with you since you started and called us out. Well, let's go a little further. And then he turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou sayest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of man. What? He just told Peter a few minutes ago that he was changed his name from Simon to Petra, the little rock. Now, it doesn't sound like a rock at all, does he? Even a little stone. Then he goes on. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. For whosoever shall save his life will lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall save it for my sake, shall find it. And he said, for what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. My subject is simply this for me and for you, and for me because I studied this for my own self. In Jesus Christ, will my performance match my potential? In Jesus Christ, will what I do for God match what God sees I can do for him? May I say to you, will your performance match your potential? Because I guarantee you, if you're saved, every one of you in here has a potential. You may not know what it is. My potential, as God saw years ago, 60 years ago and 52 years ago, he saw this. I didn't see it. So I'm saying to you, there's a performance everybody sees, and many times people miss that because they don't have all the facts. And then there is a potential that God sees that he'll use us in spite of what others may see. And I see here, I read where there was a fellow by the name of Jack. He said, one person told me one day, the reason that I sit around and do nothing all the time is because I'm afraid of my success potentially. He said, I got upset about it. And then I got to thinking, you know, he's probably right. Because I have a feeling that if I fulfill my potential success, it would cut into my sitting around doing nothing. And I think that's true. Another fellow said that he was a car salesman. The guy went to buy a car from him. And the salesman said to him, come on, take it, get in and drive it around. Try it out. You'll love this car. It's in good shape. The guy got in, drove it around a little bit, and he came back. So what do you think about it? He said, well, it's pretty good, but I want to ask you a question. He said, I noticed every time that I stopped and put it in gear, it jerked when it started off. He said, oh, that's a sign of a good performance. He said, you got to keep in mind, that car is so in good shape, it's very anxious to get started. Amen. Well, there is a potential for all of us. But there's a performance too. And that's what I'm seeing here that God saw about Peter that no one else saw. In Acts 14, 15, verse 18, the Bible says, known unto God all his works from the beginning of the world. By the way, I believe that. It's in the Bible. So if that be the case, God not only knows what I do, God knows what I have potential to do, and he knows what I'm be doing if I live another day or a year from now. You heard me say many times, I pray and I do, God gave me this many years ago. I pray that God who gave me my first breath will let me give him my last breath when the day comes. I will be doing something. I don't know exactly, but I know I'm going to be serving him. And so it should be with you and I. Here we have Peter having an encounter with Jesus Christ while they're both living physically. And as you see this, may God help us to listen and with reverence and respect of what he's doing. Because in two instances here, we see Peter like two different types of people. And only God could see the difference in what the end results would be. And may God help us listen with reverence. Because the grass withers and the flowers fade and our outfits go out of style, but the Lord's going to endure forever. Amen. Now, that last part of that's not Bible, but it's true. He's going to last forever. And when I see that, it helps me understand saying Peter is that person that always had something to say which generally embarrassed him, but not this time in verse 16. Yet, when he cried that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Lord gave him great understanding that he didn't say that in his own flesh, yet Peter's ignorance, in his ignorance, we learn from God too. No, Peter does not identify Jesus merely on the basis of miracles, which he could have when he said this. He didn't identify him on the basis of the mechanics of life or the cosmetics in life. He identified him because he saw potentially in Jesus Christ who the Messiah was. Thou art the Christ. Now you say, well, he had it that moment, yes. But you know, growing in grace and knowledge has to continue as long as you live. And here he had it that moment, but within a few moments, and hearing Jesus teaching something that he couldn't understand, because Jesus, he'd already seen great things that made him know he was the Messiah. And now he's talking about dying. If you're the Messiah, if you're God in the flesh, you can't die. Now, that's the last thing. Hey, I've seen you raise the dead. How are you going to kill somebody and raise the dead? He doesn't understand, though. God has a plan and purpose. He lets us see ourselves sometimes in him. If you'll be honest, we none of us have arrived. Amen. We need his help every day. Amen. We need his help every day. And I see a wonderful thing here about life. Jesus potentially saw the Messiah. In Matthew 16, 17, Jesus knew that what Peter said in this verse did not come from his head. It didn't come from his mind. He didn't come trying to figure out who he was. This was revealed to Peter, he said, not by flesh and blood, but by the Father which is in heaven. Then in Matthew chapter 16, 21, Jesus began to explain that he must be killed and rise again on the third day. And up to this time, Jesus' life, the apostles saw only the miracles and heard the teachings of Christ. And they never heard a man teach like this before. They never seen a man have the power this man had. And certainly they knew when they were with him, their hearts were touched and melted before him when he spoke. And I think the Holy Spirit does for us that today when we get in the Word of God. And this was not revealed to Peter by flesh and blood. This was revealed to him by his Father which is in heaven. And now, up to this time, the life of the apostles saw the miracles, heard the teaching of Christ. They followed Jesus due to the power that he manifested rather than the sacrifice that he had to make. They were following him because he was manifesting the power of what they thought the Messiah should be. But they didn't think he had to give the sacrifice he had to give. Because everybody they'd ever seen die didn't come back unless you had someone power enough to raise them. And that was far few between. And so, therefore, rather than the sacrifice that he was going to make at the end of his life, and so Jesus proved what he saw when considering Peter's potential. When he talked about the little rock, he saw a potential that would go beyond the next phase when he began to rebuke Christ. So let me give four quick points on this idea about in Christ when my performance matched my potential. By faith, number one, Peter began to see the potential as who Jesus really was as the Messiah. How? The way that Jesus spoke, the way that he talked about God, the way that he prayed, the way that he lived, his life, how he led people to himself. Peter saw changes to follow people who followed Jesus Christ. And then he hadn't seen that kind of change before in people's lives. And so Jesus saw the potential. Then Peter, and changed his name from Simon to Petra, which means a little rock. Yet, watch this, just a few sentences more, a little time later, I don't know how much time left between 16 and what Jesus said later. But in this, as the rock, Peter still indicated that he was unstable at times. Would you not say that? He certainly is not in verse here when he said about 22. He's not there in attitude what he said in verse 16. And he seems to be unstable, though he's always had something to say, it seems to be. When we're born physically, only God knows about our potential. Not a mother, not a dad, not a brother and sister, not for friends. Only God knows what your potential is. And by the way, He'll bring it out if you'll serve Him. I don't think we'll ever have to stand before God one day and say we reached that potential, because He sees in us we can't see, and it takes Him time to work it out. But I know this, one of these days, according to the Bema Seat of Jesus Christ, Charlie Ennis will stand before Jesus Christ and be judged, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it won't be judged before me to you, or you to me. He'll be judged, and I say again, as I said a few weeks ago, my potential may be way up here, and I may come along here. I'll be rewarded for here, not here. Because I've left a vain thing that I could have done, maybe, and didn't do, or maybe just didn't want to do, or whatever the reason was, God will show that it's right, and He'll show what we could have done and could not do. When those times when we should have served God and we didn't serve God, we should have did what God gave us talent to do, and we didn't do those things at that time. And so God speaks from a vantage point of our potential, which will be manifested rather than the performance going on at a certain time in our lives. People see our performance only, and sometimes they misjudge those because they don't have all the facts. Oh, we think we do, but we don't. Our capabilities. Matthew 7:20, Jesus said, "By their fruits ye shall know them. By their works you shall know them." But then again, it's by their capabilities, by their potentials, by the greatest moments of triumph they have in life. It's amazing just how quick Peter disrupted his potential by performing and making that statement that contradicted the very purpose of God. And Jesus had said, "Peter, get thee hence behind me. What you're saying is not of God, it's of Satan." Yeah. Folks, if you don't get that, you won't ever understand what God is trying to teach us even here as He talks about Peter. And I say again, it amazes me that He would give us this at time. And it amazes me, and when I preached the message before, how months ago, how I began to study this, been in this weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, a lot longer than you could think, to see something that really is as Bible as John 3:16. And so I say again, this should give us some hope, because people at times act at home different than they do at church. There may be a change before you get home today in some of us. Not me, preacher. Let one person cut you off somewhere or another. You go down the road a little bit, you've got some children behind you, tell them to be quiet. It's kind of agitating you to drive. They don't get quiet. You lose your cool pretty quick. Ask some people. You know, we're going well. But God has a work on us, folks, and we have to submit to Him under those circumstances. We have the greatest potential for power and purpose in life, but we also have the potential for pain and failure. God shows us through Peter both sides of these in these verses. Matthew 16, verse 22. Peter began to rebuke Jesus. A bad idea. It's bad. I mean, He's the Word. He's the Word that this living Word writes about. He never made a mistake. He never sinned, Peter said. Even though now this happened. And I thank God, I'm amazed. He's trying to tell the God of the universe, this, His plan will not work. For what Peter sees does not fit his thinking that Jesus is going to die. It doesn't fit him where he's at in his vocabulary to think that Christ is going to die. He's just confessed that He's the Christ. He's the sent one that should come from God. And now he's rebuking the very one who's the Messiah. Peter's confidence that he knows what God is going to do, that what Jesus said just cannot happen. Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. I know you better than that. I've been with you over 2 years. I've seen you do things that just blows my mind. I'm just think like Peter would think if he'd see what Peter saw. This is a false confidence. Peter could not see the cross before the crown. and even the last moment. You say, well, boy, wasn't that good? He corrected everything. It's an amazing thing when Christ needed the most as a human being, though. He cursed and swore he didn't know it. Would you have had him in your vocabulary? Why did God send for Peter? God knew Peter was real, though, when God spoke to him. God knew Peter would correct things when God spoke for him. And I see the second thing God shows us through Peter, that sometimes our performance does not match our potential. Well, not me, preacher. I do not know why some people say they do, but I notice I wouldn't get hooked on that. I wouldn't struggle with that. I wouldn't talk to my husband like that. I wouldn't talk to my wife like that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't get depressed like that. Oh? Have you not been depressed sometimes after you got saved? 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. By the way, he said that to the children of God. Lord, I'm preaching this. I know it's right because I've been on it 3 or 4 months studying it. Sometimes some things happen in your life that knock you off your balance and you find yourself in a place that you never expect to be. It might not even be your fault. During the Passover meal, Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Calvary took place about 24 hours later. Then the disciples could not comprehend what he was saying. They could not process the information. Therefore, their faith would decrease at that moment. Even one of them would betray him, called Judas. And the rest would not go to the cross with him, with the exception of John. And they'd just been with him a year and a half before that and agree with Peter that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God shows us the struggle is a part of life. Peter even said this, Lord, not me. I die for you, Matthew 26:33-35. You get that, folks? We saw the performance. Lord, I'll die for you. Go read it. I'll die for you. And yet, within a period later, he was cursing and swore he didn't know the Lord. You see, Satan knows he gets us in a place sometimes. He can cause a lot of things to happen. But thank God, God sees the potential. He can say to Satan what he said to Job, some of us, I've tried them. I've let you try them every way in the world you can. And they're still serving me. He didn't put it in the Bible, but he put one in there to show what God will do when people do serve him in conditions of adversity. Like all of us face at times if you've done anything for God. God shows us that struggles are part of life. It shows us that we are important to God when he allows Satan to put us in a struggle. Many people in the church today refuse to acknowledge their weakness when they may be struggling with that. The question is, what do you do when you find yourself in a situation that you swore that you'd never be in? At times when we struggle with a situation that you never imagined that you would have to be struggling with that. And I've been saved 60 years, and I'll be honest, Dr. Biddle, bless his heart, he quoted the Bible better than Jack Van Ampe. And I remember one time he said, Brother, I'll be honest with you. He said, I'm amazed how older I get, how this flesh is as wicked. I guess I'd see it more than I'd see it when I was younger. And I have a battle with it every day of my life. Even after the Lord took his wife home, he said, I still have a battle with it. And by the way, if you'd be honest, you do too. I do too. Every day. If you do anything for God, you will be. Many times in the church, people refuse to acknowledge their weakness. In a time when you struggle with a situation that you never imagined you'd be there. Number three, God wants to challenge us with the understanding about what could never happen. God said the word never in a different way than we say it. Due to some struggle, many have come to the place that they feel that they will never be happy again. Boy, when I counsel people, I love to see people say, I'll never be happy again. I'll never love again. I'll never be free again. I'll never recover from this and this. My mistake. I'll never rebuild my life again back. Never. I can never get over this fall. I can never recover from this reputation. God speaks a different never. He says he does not come. His never doesn't come out of Peter's mouth. His never comes out of Jesus' mouth. And Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And that word never means that. Listen to me. After you have survived the worst possible assault on your faith, your mind, your sanity, After some people have left you and circumstances have drained you of all your human energy, there remains a promise, not from Peter's prediction, but from God's word, Hebrews chapter 13, 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but you better know him as your Savior. If not, one day he'll say, depart me, I never knew you. In Christ, will my performance match my, oh, will my performance match my potential? Jesus said, I'll never leave thee, forsake thee. When God says never, and I wrote this down back and I've underlined it over and over because I mean, God, please let me always remember this. When God says never, he means never, and there's nothing that Satan can do about it. And I guarantee you, probably none of us in here did as bad as Peter did. Because I don't know the time. There's a lot of things God had to correct me on, but I don't know the time I would deny who Jesus Christ was. But Peter cursed and swore one time he didn't know him. And when you get to heaven, he's going to have a lot more wars than you and I, any of us here, had. Because he was genuine when God came to him about what he had to do the time. So in Romans chapter 5, on Christ, I find that Christ is the solid rock. He tells us that. People can change their minds about their potential. They may be based on performance, but God never does. As a matter of fact, Paul gives us a good realization. But if there's been anybody at all that we probably wouldn't use, it would have been the Apostle Paul. As Saul of Tarsus, going towards Damascus. But we find he told Timothy one time in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for the things which I also suffered after these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Isn't that wonderful? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank God for songs that are biblical. Well, that's biblical. And knowing who Jesus Christ is. So Romans chapter 5 verse 8. God shows us that we're not saved on the basis of our performance. Not many God would give them the law this morning. We're not saved because we kept the law. If you tried to keep the law, we'd go to hell. We can't keep the law. Somebody said, don't tell me that. I know someone who did. I do too. It's Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And that's the reason I trust him. If you know somebody who did, I might have their own Savior. Because he's the only one that did that. No one else could die for sin unless they could fulfill that which in turn the law says that we're condemned when we go against him. But the basis of Jesus Christ, by God's grace are we saved. Now Jesus died for me. Romans 5, 8. He commended his love toward me while I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me. By the way, that's yours too. Paul said that personally, and it's a personal thing for all. So what kind of pain that you feel today? There's a name, no matter what it is, there's a name greater than your pain. There's a name greater than your shame. There's a great name greater than your addiction, your fears, your doubts. God knew Paul's potential even before he was on the road to Damascus to perform an evil deed. Because if you looked at Paul's performance, you said, if you didn't know nothing about his performance, you said, that person should never be presented in such a way as a child of God. But Jesus knew his potential that would come after the day he received his birth, and he did on that particular day. And so Paul knew his potential even, or God knew his potential even before we see him fallen today in Jesus Christ. The question is still this. Will my performance match my potential that God sees in me? God, if nobody else prays, I'm the one who's been with this. And I'm so glad that through the weeks now and finalizing this, I'm so glad that this is my prayer. Lord, I believe that we have a potential that's beyond anything. I know this, God saw the potential when I trust Christ. If I had never trusted Christ, all of that would have been wasted. He didn't save me because he saw my potential. He saved me because I believed in Jesus Christ. And then he said, you served me, and I'll reward you for that. May our prayer be, Holy Spirit, please help me perform what my Heavenly Father sees as my potential today and every day of my life. Matthew 16, 22, for what is a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, what should he give in exchange of his soul? Now, when I wrote that as a title, and this past month touching it up at different places, studying it, because I have things everywhere in my house where I'm studying. I keep them in different places and study at different times. You say, I want to be confused. I'm glad I got the Holy Spirit. I would be confused if I didn't. But I know this, not only do I ask that in Christ will my performance, my prayer is, dear God, in Christ, please, God, let my performance match my potential as much as possible. After 3.5 years, Peter manifested a bad performance. And I close with this to show what I'm telling you. If you don't believe nothing else, you see this. Did you not know that before Jesus ever called Peter as an apostle, he knew what he'd do 3.5 years later? I already showed you in the book of Acts, and don't think God's works all from the very beginning. He already knew what he'd do 3.5 years later. But he chose him anyhow. You know why? Because he also saw Peter when the Holy Spirit came and lived in him, ladies and gentlemen. He saw Peter would take a stand that what the rest of the apostles would have paid tribute to, and yet the apostle Paul came along and rebuked Peter one time because of the way he acted in the book of Galatians. And you see that and you wonder, that's a bad performance that Peter did after he rejected the Lord, and yet the Lord sent for Peter to come, and after 3.5 years, a bad performance, his last one he did. What he did in that day, he identified some people, but the Jews came in. He was in a Greek place, and Paul saw him when the Jews came in from Jerusalem. He left them and went with the Jews, and Paul said, hey, here you are with Gentiles, and you come in and you go to the Jews as if the Jews are more important than the Gentiles. And you never find poor Peter said anything against him. You read sometime in the book of Galatians. So I say to you, at 3.5 years, Peter manifested a bad performance, but God knew his potential. Let me say to you, if you're here, listen to my renewed stream on the radio a little while later. If you're born again, if you're not born again, this doesn't have anything to do with you. But if you're saved, and something in your life to the place that had put you in a situation you think that you have lost everything because your performance hadn't been what you thought a Christian would be. If you're truly saved, listen to God's voice. He sees in you something. All you have to do is say, Lord, please use me, and mean it. Don't play with God with your salvation. Don't play with God with your service. And God will show you what you need to do. And you begin to take that step of faith with no ground under it, and then solid there'll be ground. You hear me say so many times. And as you go, you may waver. You may not understand something. You may act too hastily. Hey, when I was a young, I got saved, started studying the scriptures, and the first thing, I got confused because I had extreme people, what they believe on each side. And I had, you hear me say, I'd say, Lord, you're going to have to show me. I'm as confused as a turbine in a yo-yo. But I don't know who's right. And Lord, I pray this, you help me. I'll try to study the scripture to find out who's right, and that'll come from this book. Have I got all the time? No, and neither have you. But I tell you this, you'll be more accurate than you'd be wrong. Because God not only sees us in our performance, and when the performance gets, hey, you say, this is the reason I know God's in charge if you're saved. If your performance gets out of line somehow or another, and you're the cause of it, not because somebody made the accusation, but you're the cause of it, God is showing that Peter, I know, have you ever done what Peter did after he started following Christ? I never cursed and swore I didn't know the Lord. And yet God saw Peter's potential. So you come down the end of his way. And I think, but oh my God, can I just say last thing and try to put myself in Peter's place and understand where he's at and what he's gone through? And because of the years, Lord, I've heard so much people who have been hurt so bad, they just felt like the world had caved in around them. They could not be helped, but God's always there to help. And Peter was so strong that it come down, he knew he was going to die for the cause of Christ. And as they said, we're going to crucify you, they thought they were mocking him somehow or another. And Peter would say, if you're going to crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified upright like Jesus was. And in a sacred type mockery, they said, oh, we'd do that. And they crucified him upside down.
God saw his potential. He saw his end. He saw what he could do if he growed enough in grace and knowledge to get there. But it all starts with spiritual birth. How do I know that? Because if I had not been born spiritually, you wouldn't see me in this body. If I had not been born spiritually, I'd never been able to use the brain God gave me to learn things in academics. Don't know much now, but I know a whole lot more than I did when I was 12 years old. God sees our potential. Lord, please help my performance reach my potential as much as possible in these days. Help someone see that today. Help someone in this auditorium or listening by the radio or you stream to understand there is not a potential to be a child of God outside of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we are part of God's family. And we can cry, oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that he should call us children of God. Help someone see that today. And help us to see. Lord, I see my performance. Others see performance sometimes and misread it. But Lord, you never misread it. If I stand before you in my performance, I'll be judged according to what will be accurate in your court. But Lord, you see my potential. If no one else, again, I pray to you as I did early this morning. Please, Father, in my performance, help me realize that there's something beyond that. And may my performance rise higher to my potential, even in old age. I can't give you a 25-year-old body like I could at 80 years ago. I can't give you 80. I can give you 80-year-old body, though. Maybe my mind could be a little more today that I could give somebody who listened, but they have to listen. Help someone today to see. If I don't care where they're at, they need to trust Christ now. You can't get too young to trust Christ and then have a life to give for him. If I've been, say, 60 years, this September 27, 1959, since then, Lord, there's many things I'm sure that I missed. But I'm glad, and I might have felt, I'd just never be what I want to be. I'd never be able to get, I'd see some people who have great ministers, and I said, I'll never get there, and still don't feel like I get there. There's nobody else. Well, I want to come to you and thank you for Barbara. And thank you for giving us people through the years that saw something and stuck with us. Something a little more than what you see in the flesh. May our potential, the performance equal the potential. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.